Well, good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this morning? For those who don't know me, I'm Claudia Collins, and today I'm going to continue our Bible stories for adults, and we're going to focus on one of our Old Testament judges. We're going to focus on Gideon, and we're going to look at the theme, faith in fear. Now, when I think about fear, I remember that as a child, I couldn't wait to grow up. Why? I thought that being an adult would mean I would no longer be afraid. I won't be afraid of anything. I thought I would always know what to do in every circumstance. But then I grew up. And I grew up and I realized that fear doesn't disappear with age. Fear is a normal part of our human experience. I've learned that being an adult is sometimes pretending to know what I'm doing. And other times, it's figuring it out as I go along. Am I alone in this? Does anyone else experience this or have this experience when they think about their everyday lives and fear? Sometimes life reminds us of that very quickly. Like the first time you're asked to preach. Yeah, you smile and say, sure. But then you have to, you know within yourself that you're going to have to pray 40 days and 40 nights to get through it. But wait, I wasn't asked to do this. I was the one that asked to do this. So now I'm wondering if Dave really had to pray 40 days and 40 nights before he said yes. Probably. And that isn't the only time that I've ever felt this way. As some of you know, I'm a spiritual care practitioner. And I had to do 2 years of very intensive clinical training to be that. I remember on my first day as a clinical care, as a spiritual care intern, I was given a patient list and I was told, go to your assigned unit. And that was at the regional trauma hospital in the area, right? So I remember thinking, what just happened? What am I supposed to do? That experience was one of the most real on-the-job training that I've ever done in my life. There was no lengthy orientation. There was no shadowing for a few weeks. I was just told, off you go. Was I fearful? I was absolutely fearful. But I realized that very day that I would never fully know what I was walking into when I went into a patient room. I would never fully know what they were carrying. I would never fully know what grief they were wrestling with, what questions they would want answered, what they would want to unpack. I would just walk in blind. Fear was present, and fear is sometimes always present. But over time, what I've learned to do is to trust that whatever shows up, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to really know, because you can't be fully prepared. What I've learned is that all I need to do is to be fully present. I need to be attentive. I need to listen. And I need to trust God to lead me through it. So over the years, I've learned that courage isn't about feeling ready. It's about taking the next faithful step, even when you aren't, even when you don't feel ready. And I think that's why I resonate so much with the story of Gideon. So let's quickly take a look at Gideon's story. We're going to read from Judges 6. Verses 7 to 12. And it says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and I gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the God of the Amorites in the land who you live. But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, let's look at the Israelites at the time. The Israelites were always getting themselves in trouble with God. God would always help them out of some difficult situation. And without fail, they would turn their backs on God. And they would start worshiping other gods. So what happened in that story was Israel had once again turned their backs on God. And because of that, they were living under the 7 years of oppression from Midian. Their crops were stolen, their livestock were taken, and they lived in fear every day. They were hiding to survive. Gideon, in this story, is not introduced as a hero. He was a mere farmer, and when we first met him, he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, when you thresh wheat, you separate the grain from the rest of the plant. And the grain is what you pound and ground into flour, which is then used to feed them and they feed their families. It's important to note, though, that when you're threshing wheat, you don't do it in a wine press. You do it in a threshing floor, and this was usually out into the open. Wine press is where you made wine. Right, and Gideon was afraid, and he was hiding from the enemy. So he was harvesting his food so that the Midianites couldn't find him and take it away from him. So the shallow basin of that wine press kept him hidden from them. So he was simply a frightened man trying to survive when we saw him at the start of that story. But despite this, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, the angel said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The angel addressed him as mighty warrior, even though nothing about Gideon was mighty at the time. And that is how God sees us. God sees beyond who we are in the present. God looked behind Gideon's fear, and God addressed him according to his potential. God addressed him according to his calling. Mighty warrior really spoke of the calling that was on Gideon's life even before Gideon knew that he was chosen. Even before Gideon knew that God wanted him to help his people out of oppression. Even before he did anything courageous, the Lord called him mighty, mighty warrior. Now, many of us, we define ourselves by our past failures. We define ourselves by our current struggles. But God sees beyond all of that. He sees the possibilities where there are limitations. He sees more in us than we see in ourselves. Now, let's continue with this story. Now, Gideon heard himself called mighty warrior, as he said, but God's declaration of who he was didn't have a chance to settle with him. His first response was really to look at his current circumstances. So, in verses 13 to 15, he said, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my lord, Gideon said. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. So Gideon's response right there wasn't confidence. The first thing he did was to complain that God wasn't really doing what he was supposed to do. He wasn't doing anything to help them. He then questioned God, and then he doubted what God wanted him to do in that moment. He doubted what God was telling him to do. So Gideon didn't even believe the calling at that time that was on his life. It is important to note, though, that even though he doubted, even though he questioned, that didn't disqualify him from God's calling on his life. Let me say that again. Even though Gideon doubted and questioned God, it did not disqualify him from the calling that God placed on him, from the calling that God had in his life. When I read Gideon's story, as I told you, I resonate so much with him. Because I'm happy to note that God does not reject us when we ask questions. I appreciate that because the way my mind works, I process things through questions. Does anyone else do that? I don't immediately arrive at any answer until I ask so many questions because I want to get some understanding. So Gideon's story reminds me that asking questions doesn't disqualify me from being used from God. It tells me that God can work through people like me who have and ask questions. But Gideon, he took it a bit further than asking questions. He asked God for signs because he wanted confirmation that God was truly speaking to him. But this wasn't about Gideon doubting God. This was about Gideon doubting himself. Now, these are the three signs that Gideon asked for. First, he asked that his offering be consumed by fire. So he prepared an offering and placed them on a rock. And the angel touched the offering with his staff, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the offering. Now, that gave Gideon enough confidence to know, okay, at least it seems as if God wants me. It seems as if what he's saying is true. So that gave him enough confidence to take another step. He did not hesitate then to do what God asked him to do next. So his father had built an altar to Baal, and God told him to tear down that altar and build a new one. So Gideon obeyed and did it. But even though he obeyed and did what God told him to do, he did it at night when nobody could find him. Nobody could see him. So his family and the people of the town didn't know that it would be him because he was afraid to be known. But God did not punish Gideon for hiding, didn't punish Gideon for doing it in secret. God decided to meet him in his uncertainty. God decided to meet him in his fear. God's grace meets us where we are. God may not answer every question, but he always gives us enough assurance so that we can take the next step. And this is really what he did with Gideon. He gave him a sign, and that sign gave him enough confidence to take the next step and to build that altar. But even after obeying and doing all of this, Gideon still had doubt. He still struggled with trust in himself. He still looked at himself and saw weakness. So he wanted more proof. So he asked God for more signs. So twice he asked for confirmation using fleece. So he asked God to allow dew to fall on the fleece and not on the floor. God did that. Gideon said, no, that's not enough. Give me another sign. He then asked God to allow the dew to fall on the ground and not on the fleece. And God did that. That finally convinced him that God was calling him. But what is most important at this point in the story is the way that Gideon's faith grew one step at a time. With each of that sign, each of the sign that God provided, his faith grew one step at a time. That doesn't mean that his fear disappeared. His faith was growing in spite of the fear that he was holding. And that is often how faith works. We sometimes believe that faith is reaching to a place where we no longer feel afraid. But faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is choosing to trust God in spite of doubt. Faith is choosing to trust God even when you're holding fear, even when fear is present. But the story doesn't end there. Gideon still needed to carry out the call. So in chapter 7, Gideon put an army of 32,000 men to fight the Midianites. The truth was that 32,000 men wasn't sufficient to fight them because it stated that the Midianites were like swarms of locusts, and it was impossible to count the men and their camels. That meant that they far outnumbered Gideon's army of 32,000 men. But you know what God did? God looked at Gideon and he said, 32,000 men, you have too much. So he said, when God did that at that time, I would ask some of my questions. I know I would have asked some of my questions. No, God. But what? But God said, you need to reduce that army. A large army was not a part of God's plan. God knew his people. God knew the Israelites. Remember I told you how fickle the Israelites were? God knew them. And God didn't want to give them a chance to say or even think that they were fighting in their own strength. So God told Gideon to send home anyone who was afraid. Imagine having 32,000 men ready to fight a battle, right? After being oppressed for 7 years and they want to get out of that oppression and they're ready to fight a battle. And you put together 32,000 men and you say to them, okay, whoever is afraid, go home. 22,000 men left. So Gideon is left now with 10,000 men to fight an army with numbers that we couldn't count. Imagine that. And one of the things that came to me, I said, why was Gideon still there? Do you understand me? Isn't he the most fearful one? This is proof that God uses us in spite of what we are holding. Proof that nothing disqualifies us if we trust God to take us through it. So let's continue with the story. Gideon now was left with 10,000 men. And God said, you know what? 10,000 men is too many. So God gave him another way to reduce the number. God told Gideon to bring the men to the water, and then he separated them based on how they drank the water. So he told Gideon that whoever cupped their hands to drink, that he should keep them, send everyone else home. Everyone that knelt down to drink, send them home. So Gideon was now left with, from the 10,000, 300 men. Now, if I were in Gideon's shoes, I would still be asking more questions. But the oh God. And at this point, I will be saying, okay, God, show me the signs. Show me that I can do this with only 300. I said 3,000 because in my mind, 300 makes no sense. But tell me, God, how can I do this with 300 soldiers? But you know what is funny? At this point in the story, Gideon didn't ask questions. He was already past that stage of doubt. His faith was already activated, and he was now moving in faith. And even if the fear was present, his faith far superseded that fear. Now, God knows us, and God knows exactly when we need encouragement. He knew Gideon was still afraid. So he told Gideon, go to the enemy's camp. Go look at what they're doing. And if you're afraid, take your servant with you. For sure, Gideon took the servant with him. And when he went and listened to the Midianites, he understood, based on what they were saying, that he would have the victory, that he would for sure help to lead the people out of oppression. Even in his fear, Gideon obeyed God. And I love that. I love that God didn't shame Gideon because of his fear. God didn't demand that he hide it. Instead, God made room for it and provided the encouragement that Gideon needed to take the next step. Now, look at how Gideon took down the Midianites. Verse 15 of chapter 7, it said, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, that's what he heard when he went down and was listening to the Midianites, he bowed down and he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Gideon did not... Now I lost where I am. So let me continue reading. Now watch me, Gideon told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow their trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding their right hands, the trumpet they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Now, Gideon did not win the battle because his army was stronger or better equipped. For sure, 300 men wouldn't be more stronger than an army so huge that you can't count them. Gideon won that battle because he trusted God. When the trumpets sounded, the jars broke and confusion spread throughout the Midianite camp. And that's how God gave them the victory. And that is really the heart of Gideon's story. When God first called Gideon, he was hiding in fear. He questioned God. He doubted himself. He asked for a sign. He wondered why God would choose someone like him. Yet God never withdrew his call. God patiently walked with Gideon until Gideon's faith became greater than his fear. Notice that he didn't become fearless at any point in the story. The difference is that fear was no longer making decisions for him. Faith was now making the decisions for him. Many of us, we are waiting to feel brave before we obey God. We are waiting until we feel confident enough. We are waiting until we feel prepared enough. We are waiting until we feel spiritual enough. We are waiting until we feel certain enough. But God calls us with all our flaws and invites us to trust him one step at a time. The question is not, do I feel afraid? The question is, will I trust God despite my fear? So what does Gideon's story
teach us today? I think it leaves us with three important truths that we can carry into our own lives. First, stop letting fear define who you are. Gideon was not a leader when we first saw him. He didn't even see himself as courageous. He definitely didn't see himself as someone God would use. In other words, Gideon was saying, God, you know what? You have the wrong person. Find someone else. Have you ever found yourself saying something like that to God? God, not me. You, someone else. Not me. I can't do it. Fear has a way of shaping how we see ourselves. It whispers in our ears that we are not enough. We're not good enough. It tells us that we will fail. It reminds us of our past mistakes and convinces us that those mistakes will determine our future. Gideon listened to those voices, but God spoke something differently over him. God called him a mighty warrior long before he acted like one. Many of us still carry labels that God never gave us. We define ourselves by labels that God never gave us. But when God sees us, he sees us through the lens of his purpose. He doesn't see us through the lens of our limitation. So when God calls us, we need to trust that we are his. We need to know that we are forgiven. We need to know that we are loved. We need to know that we are equipped. We need to know that we are chosen. And we need to learn to believe what God says about us more than what fear says about us. So what labels have you accepted that God is asking you to let go? Now is the time to let go of those labels and replace them with God's truth. The second thing we can learn from Gideon is to take the next step, even if we don't have the whole plan. God did not show Gideon every detail all at once. He simply gave him enough guidance for the next step. First, tear down that altar, then gather the army, reduce the army, go down to the camp. He gave him instructions one step at a time. And that's often how God works in our lives. We often want the full roadmap before we even make the first move. We often want to know exactly how things are going to work out before we take the first step. But faith does not work that way. You may not know where the journey leads, but faith says, I will take the next step and trust God with the rest. Maybe your next step is having a difficult conversation. Maybe it is serving in a ministry. Maybe it's asking or even offering someone forgiveness. Maybe it's responding to a call that God has been knocking on your heart. It took me years to respond to the call to be a spiritual care practitioner because I didn't think that it was my time. I didn't think that I had things in place. I could not see what the next steps were. So I refused to do it until I could see a roadmap. But one day I decided, no. It's now time to move, even though I don't know what is coming next. Sometimes we do think that God only works in dramatic moments, and he works through extraordinary callings. But God works in those ordinary acts of obedience. So trust God with your next step. Faith is true is in obedience today and trusting God with tomorrow. Now, the next thing that we can learn, the final thing that we can learn, is that victory belongs to God. God intentionally reduced the army to 300 men. Why? Because God wanted to remove every reason that Israel could take credit for defeating the Midianites. When the battle was over, no one could say, look at what we accomplished. Israel's only response when God sent them to battle with 300 people was, look at what God has done. And this truth is just as important for us today. We all face battles that feel overwhelming. It may be a health challenge. It may be a strained relationship. It may be financial pressure. It may be going through grief, uncertainty about the future. But when we look at our own strength, when we look at our own resources, we may feel like Gideon, standing with only 300 men against an impossible army. But Gideon's story reminds us that God's power is not limited to our weakness. What seems impossible for us is never impossible for God. That doesn't always mean that the battle will end the way we hope. But what that does mean is that we won't face them alone. The outcome of our battle does not depend on how strong we are. It does not depend on how powerful we are. It depends on how faithful God is. And the good news of salvation is that God is always faithful. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is trusting God enough to obey Him as when faith, fear is present. Gideon was afraid, but he moved forward. Gideon had questions, but he obeyed. Gideon felt inadequate, but he trusted God's call. And because he did, God used him to accomplish something far greater than himself. Let us ask ourselves today, where is fear making my decisions? What label do I need to let go of today? What is the next step that God is asking me to take? Whatever battle you are facing today, whatever fear is standing in front of you, hear the words that God spoke to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And in closing, we're going to hear those words from Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for reminding us through Gideon's story that you do not call the fearless. You call ordinary people, and you give them the strength that they need. When we feel afraid, God, when we feel uncertain, when we feel inadequate, help us to trust that you are with us. Today we ask that you strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us to trust you when we cannot see the whole picture. Help us to take the next step of obedience, even when we feel unprepared. Give us the courage, Lord, the courage to move forward, not because we are strong, God, but because you are with us. For those of us who are facing battles today, we ask, Lord God, for your peace. We ask for your wisdom. God, we ask for your strength. And God, may we leave here today with hearts full of faith, trusting that the same God who was with Gideon is with us today. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.